From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Rachel Miro. Today, the nation's eyes turn to the California Supreme Court, which is considering whether the state's ban on same-sex marriage discriminates against gays and lesbians. For a brief period 4 years ago, some 4,000 gay and lesbian couples tied the knot at San Francisco City Hall. When the state Supreme Court stopped the weddings, nearly two dozen couples sued. Sarah Varney has more.
Over a rainy Valentine's weekend in 2004, thousands of couples lined up around the block at San Francisco City Hall to get married. Inside, then-San Francisco Assessor Mabel Tang addressed the crowd.
We have inside City Hall 400 couples that we let in this morning, and you are one of them. Congratulations. Again, I want to thank you for your patience. I want to thank you for waiting in line. I want to just thank you for bringing so much love and joy to City Hall.
The state Supreme Court later nullified the licenses, but asked the lower courts to review the constitutionality of California's marriage laws. A Superior Court judge went on to declare the state's same-sex marriage ban unconstitutional because it discriminates based on gender and violates the fundamental right to marry. An appeals court later overturned the ruling, saying through domestic partnership, gay men and lesbians have most of the rights the state grants to married couples. At the state Supreme Court today, San Francisco Chief Deputy City Attorney Therese Stewart will argue California has long recognized the rights of same-sex couples to own property, raise natural and adopted children, and be foster parents.
The denial of marriage, which is sort of the last piece to this series of removing these various barriers to their participation in society, it has to be measured against that backdrop. Does it still make logical sense in light of what we understand in California today?
The justices will likely focus some of their questions today on the differences between domestic partnership and marriage. Shannon Minter, legal director for the National Center for Lesbian Rights and lead counsel in one of the marriage cases, says gay couples have nearly all the same rights and benefits as married people in California. But Minter says maintaining separate institutions is as stigmatizing as racial segregation.
Marriage is about so much more than just a collection of legal benefits. You know, it really is about how we value family in this culture. And when you think about what message does it send to exclude lesbian gay people from that profound central human experience, it sends a very bad message to people who commit hate crimes. And it is particularly difficult and just anguishing, really, for children with lesbian gay parents. They have to struggle to understand, well, why can't my parents marry?
A 1977 state law and a ballot measure called Proposition 22, approved by voters 8 years ago, define marriage as a heterosexual union in California. California Attorney General Jerry Brown is in the difficult position of defending state law when he has long supported gay civil rights. Senior Assistant Attorney General Chris Krueger.
It's not inconsistent with gay rights to defend the law that the people have enacted, as long as the rights and benefits that are normally given to married couples are provided to same-sex couples. We are supportive of equality for gay men and lesbians, but we are defending the law as it's been enacted in the legislative process.
Although the legislature has allowed gay couples to adopt and share property, Glenn Levy, an attorney with the Proposition 22 Defense Fund, says that should have no bearing on the Supreme Court's decision.
No accumulation of public policy changes can invalidate Proposition 22. That's because a voter initiative cannot be amended or repealed by the legislature without the approval of the voters.
Governor Schwarzenegger has twice vetoed bills that would have legalized same-sex marriage, saying the voters or the courts should decide the matter. The Supreme Court has 90 days to issue a ruling. Massachusetts remains the only U.S. state that allows gay and lesbian couples to marry. For the California Report, I'm Sarah Varney.
You can tune in to the hearings live on the web. For a link, go to californiareport.org. Since the primary last month, there's been plenty of talk about bubble trouble in L.A. County. Tens of thousands of declined to state ballots weren't counted initially due to a poorly designed ballot. Finally, county officials have finished the tally, more or less. L.A. Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz explains.
In all, around 60,000 declined to state voters neglected to fill in an extra bubble on the February 5th ballot stating which party they were crossing over to. This made it difficult to determine who they were voting for because candidates from the American Independence Party and the Democratic Party shared the same bubbles. The L.A. County Registrar's Office apologized for the mishap and promised to count as many of these ballots as it could. Today was the deadline for the county to report its ballot count to the California Secretary of State, and in all, 47,153 of these ballots were counted. That's 80% of all the so-called bubble trouble ballots. Political pundits assumed most of these declined to state votes would go to Senator Barack Obama. They were wrong. 23,895 votes went to Senator Hillary Clinton, and 19,796 votes went to Obama. The added votes weren't enough to shift the delegate count, but the ballot mishap was enough to prompt L.A. County Registrar Dean Logan to change the design of future ballots. For the California Report, I'm Rob Schmitz in Los Angeles.
Banks and other lenders are not doing enough to help struggling homeowners stay in their homes. That's the conclusion of a new survey by the California Reinvestment Coalition, a partnership of nonprofit groups and banks. The coalition reports that despite promises from lenders to be flexible with borrowers, foreclosure is still the most likely outcome for an owner who can't make the mortgage payment. Kevin Stein wrote the report.
When they call their loan servicer and say, you know, I'm worried I'm not going to be able to make my payment in March, the servicers will tell them they can't help them until they fall behind on their loan. So that's flatly contradictory.
Stein surveyed 38 mortgage counseling agencies. For the most part, they say lenders are not proactively contacting borrowers on the brink and not modifying loans much when the call for help finally comes. One bill pending in Sacramento would require lenders to report what happens to people who call for help. Stein says that would be a good start.
The hope being that once you shed light on what companies are doing, that companies will tend to do better and people will stay in their homes. Property values won't go down, local governments won't lose out on tax revenue, and the economy won't further suffer.
Many of the lenders in the study argue they're making unprecedented efforts to help. Citigroup, for example, says its numbers show loss mitigation efforts outnumber foreclosures by almost 5-1. That's the California Report for Tuesday, March 4th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the California Healthcare Foundation and Cal Hospital Compare, rating hospital quality in California. On the web at calhospitalcompare.org. The Wesley Foundation for coverage of immigration issues throughout California, and the California Teachers Association, because every child deserves a chance to learn and no child succeeds alone. More information is available at cta.org.